bread at my table.
Dignity.
Security.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Respect. Justice.
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 Equality.
Equality.
Remedy. Suppression.
Fairness.
Fair fun.
Right.
Well,
peace.
Wisdom.
Men.
Asylum,
identity,
family,
home,
conscience,
expression,
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 participation,
democracy,
welfare,
work,
work,
leisure,
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 health,
education,
focus,
culture,
human rights,
Cartagena,
solidarity.
Fill in the mortar. I raise the wall, and I'm the only one. I will be the one to knock it down.
Good afternoon to all of our listeners on CJTR Community Radio at 91.3 FM, and welcome to everyone tuning in over the internet at cjtr.ca. Wherever you are, welcome to Human Rights Radio, hosted weekly by Amnesty International volunteers, who are a worldwide movement of people dedicated to the promotion of human rights and the safety of all human beings. We're building a world in which every person enjoys the rights included in the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and other human rights standards. Our theme song is titled 30 Words, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, written and performed by REM and a collection of musicians from around the world. My name is Jim Hutchings, and I'm flying solo this week. Mona has fallen ill with that nasty flu that's going around, and we're hoping that she's a lot better a lot sooner, real quick. Anyway, this week, I am joined by Gary Varro, who in 1996 established Queer City Cinema, a lesbian and gay film and video festival, which went on to include a touring component to various urban centers across Canada. In 2005-2006, he took on the role of programmer with Inside Out, the Lesbian and Gay Film Festival of Toronto. Welcome, Gary.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Jim.
And we're going to be talking about Queen City Cinema today, and there's quite a history involved with it. I wonder if you could sort of start us off from the very beginning, where the idea came from and how it came to be.
Sure. I think just to clarify, the name is Queer City Cinema. Obviously a play on the fact that Regina is known as the Queen City of the Plains. So, tongue in cheek, always humor is meant to be part of what we do. Started the festival in 1996, as you said, out of the need to have more exposure, to get gay and lesbian issues, and a presence in Regina that was lacking, I think. The festival went on from the Dunlop Art Gallery, which is where it premiered, and has continued as a biennial festival since then, so 98, 2000, and so forth.
I'm just curious at this point. I'm sort of at the periphery of the gay community. I have, you know, some friends. I've been down to the club and that sort of thing. Did the club exist at that time in its present venue, or
not in its present venue? Its present venue. It has existed probably maybe since the early 80s. I'm not exactly sure. It has moved around, obviously through the process of society becoming more and more comfortable with the idea of lesbian and gay, queer, trans, etc.
Right.
The club has become more comfortable in its skin and therefore now has a large rainbow sign on mm-hmm. Broad Street to declare its presence, whereas I think probably in the early 80s that was definitely not an option.
Right. So I guess my next question would be, is there a lot of participation with members of the community here, or is this largely people from other centers that come in to participate?
Most of the participation, it's difficult to know our audience, but a large portion of our audience is from the arts community, specifically because a lot of the work is art-oriented or has, expermental slant to it. We show a lot of experimental work, art films. So it's personal taste, but there are members from the queer community, the lesbian gay community, that are attending. It's been, like I said, since 96, so there's been, many years that it has become part of the community.
Mm-hmm. What did the festival look like in 96?
The festival, what did the festival look like in 96? It was a time when, a lot has changed since 96 in terms of queer film and video, as well as what was not able to be seen in a more public way, meaning the internet was just in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
Certain feature films or very few feature films with a gay and lesbian, overtly gay and lesbian content to them. Television was, again, just starting to have shows that were oriented towards a lesbian gay audience. So it was very well attended in 96 because of that. There was no other means really by which for people to view these works. So there was a lot of attention paid to the festival. It was sold out every night. It was it was very satisfying to have put this on and have it well attended. And there was a really great energy around it.
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking here in terms of technology. There have been quite a few changes. Is there more opportunity now for, let's say, somebody who's more of an amateur to participate, or is it mostly people that you would consider from the arts, various arts communities that would be participating? What sort of people do you have who are actually contributing?
You mean our audience profile, or do you mean filmmakers?
I mean the filmmakers and videographers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, again, a lot has changed since mm-hmm. the beginning. I mean, Queer City Cinema started in 1996. There were festivals. The oldest festival that I'm aware of is the San Francisco International Lesbian Gay Film Festival, which I think is 30-plus years old. So it was in the early 70s? That started, and at that time, there would have been a lot of films and videos that were political in nature,
mm-hmm.
awareness in nature, perhaps human rights oriented in nature, as well as some experimental work. As things progressed, there were more works made by people interested in breaking into the mainstream, having their work cross over into television, not have it so marginalized and only viewable within the context of festival context situation. So, but at the same time, in the 90s, there was a lot of DIY, independent artists making work to sort of oppose that kind of mainstreaming of our culture. There's, a diversity within the queer communities that, our sexual orientation is one aspect that we share. There's a lot of things that we don't share, that we don't have in common. Different viewpoints, and some people oppose the mainstreaming of our culture. Some people really want to embrace that because that means it's about acceptance, it's about progress, being brought into the fold, normalizing things. Whereas many people want to amplify the difference that we do have. We don't mm-hmm. want to say, you know, we're just like you. So there are lots of filmmakers back in the 90s that expressed that and made that clear. And I was interested in showing those works that were about us and not so much about saying, you know, explaining ourselves to the straight world, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
and you know, saying we're okay, we're good, upstanding citizens, and you should like us
mm-hmm.
and be nice to us. So there's definitely this diversity was a very key thing in programming the festival, and still is, that we show all sorts of expressions and groups, economically, racially, trans, bi, gay, mm-hmm. lesbian, the rainbow, as they say. So that's sort of our focus, which isn't really a focus. It's meant to be quite broad.
Mm-hmm. Very inclusive.
Very inclusive, yes.
I'm just wondering, aside from the usual sort of obstacles and challenges that you have when you're putting together a production like this, were there other obstacles that had to be overcome along the way, or did you find, generally speaking, the community supportive?
Well, again, it's interesting because there's, you know, divisiveness within any group that identifies as a whole,
mm-hmm.
or we think identifies as a whole. I'm, you know, it can come down to personal taste. People just don't like the experimental work. They don't understand
mm-hmm.
why it's there. If it doesn't clearly address, identifiably address a gay and lesbian, queer, trans identity, then what's it doing there? Other people, like I said, with the festival in 2000, we were taken to task by I think it was the Saskatchewan Party at that time.
Hmm.
They've changed their names many times. They opposed the use of public funds. I think it was $5,000 we received from the Saskatchewan Arts Board at that time for programming that addressed, not completely, but part of our focus that year was on pornography and community, and it was, you know, quite a spectacle. You know, front page of the Leader Post, got into national newspapers. I was debated in the legislature for 2 weeks, and the House of Commons as well. Even got into Reader's Digest. So there was a lot of debate around what we were doing, but it really came down to, I think, a certain degree of homophobia that was acknowledged within at least the Saskatchewan Party, to no surprise, really. And that was quite, you would think that would, you know, not be a good thing for the festival, when in fact it went on to be a very good thing for the festival.
Mm-hmm.
It exposed it. It brought to light attitudes that were untoward to the queer community. It exposed like I said, the homophobia of the Saskatchewan Party.
Mm-hmm.
There were protests as well. But we went on to actually get increases in our funding, which is always another challenge for us, is to, you know, fund something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we went on to have increased funding because it brought up some interesting subjects to do with freedom of expression.
Mm-hmm.
and human rights to some extent.
I was just thinking, I've been to a few performance art sessions at Neutral Ground and some other places, and I find that some of the things you see there are challenging no matter what the subject, because they are to some extent experimental, and the artist is trying to I think bend your mind a little, stretch your mind, and so I'm sure you get a bit of this with your festival.
Actually, that's a good point you bring up, because I say some of the hardest things for people to, I mean, there's the gay and lesbian thing, but I actually think the thing that's most transgressive for a lot of people is the work that is not easily perhaps approached, understood. But there's always a curiosity there. People are always curious to see, at least I like to think so, curious to see what's going on. And I like to program curious work, and some of that curious work is experimental, is more artful, and also very thoughtful, and has a lot of humanity to it.
What sort of, we've been at it since 96, what sort of highlights have you had over the years that...
Well, I cite the spectacle that was the year 2000. You know, I think they've all had their moments. 96, of course, being the inaugural year. 98, having Bruce LaBruce come to town was pretty great. Bruce LaBruce is sort of an infamous filmmaker from the 90s and the 2000s as well, making films that are very provocative. We started doing some performance elements starting in 2004, I believe, or 2002, with some trans artists that put on a cabaret, and we've continued to include performance as part of our programming since about 2006, where we have distinguished or added a component that is specifically to do with performance art, bridging that with our film festival as well. So performances start to become more of almost an equal part of the festival, as well as the film and film and video portion. You know, having amazing guests come to town to speak on panels, participate in performances. So it's been very textured and very colorful, vibrant, interesting.
I would have to say that if anybody hasn't experienced, and I'm sure there's some folks out there that haven't experienced performance art as such, that it's a useful venture, or an interesting venture. You go into a venue which is usually fairly small, and you find yourself in the middle of a work, if not a part of the work, whether intentioned or not.
Yeah, no, it's you never know what you're getting yourself into.
Quite literally.
And I think that's what's fun about it. As I said before, there's a real curiosity around this work, and some of it's participatory, whether that makes you uncomfortable or not. It's an interesting aspect to
you have
performance.
The option, you have the option. Then.
Yeah, you do have the option typically.
Yeah. Yeah.
But often, you know, audience is part of completing the work. Without the audience, the work doesn't exist. As one of the artists in our festival coming up next week says in her words. I had a good point, and I've lost that point now. So you need to talk.
Happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
We were talking about we touched on the political aspect of it, but we had a political person actually come and talk to, or introduce, or say something at one of your at one of your sessions there. I'm just wondering if you'd like to tell that story.
Yeah, you know, I was slightly kind of preparing for this this talk show, and I thought I would look back on some of the more interesting things that have happened. In 2008 festival, I did a program, put a program together called God Gone Wild, The Immorality of Morality. I'll just read this and let people know what the focus of this program was. All these films, in one way or another, directly or indirectly, gather their drama, intensity, and emotion from the opposition expressed towards individuals and groups who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and queer. In these documentaries and personal monologues, we are shown that this opposition or homophobia is justified through the banner of religion and the religious right, who continue to use, quote, unquote, love the sinner, hate the sin, as a moral mantra. Through these disturbing documents of times past and present, we see how morality and religion continues to harm and oppress in the name of God. This program will be preceded by an address to the audience by Tom Lukowski, Conservative MP for Regina, Lumsden, Lakeview Centre, which never happened.
Oh, okay.
He was unavailable to come.
Had he originally agreed to come, or...?
I think he had originally agreed to come, or maybe it was just, you know, wishful thinking on my part that, you know, you invite someone and they'll come in. And, of course, this was just post what had happened as a news story, which I wrote about in my little welcome speech in the catalog for the same year. And I'll just read from that as well. I was just talking about what has changed and what hasn't changed, mm-hmm. In terms of attitudes, and why is it still useful to have a lesbian, gay film and video festival if we've made such strides?
Right.
Shouldn't it just go away? I mean, if, you know, we've done our job, we don't need it anymore. So I was talking about that, and in regards to this Tom Lukowski thing. Sure, politically, socially, things are better, different in a good way. But just when you were kind of feeling good about being gay in Saskatchewan, for example, we're reminded that there are those who think otherwise, would prefer that things had not changed, and that we should still anticipate from time to time regressive action on the part of some. And here's the part that relates to Tom Lukowski. The recent uncovering of a videotape from 1991 documenting sexist, racist, and homophobic, albeit drunken, slurs by members of the then Saskatchewan Progressive Conservative Party, one of them now our premier, served to demonstrate my point and begs the question, how much have things really changed, or at least here in Saskatchewan?
But I would say things have changed.
Yeah, I think things have changed too. But I think, you know, speaking of human rights legislation, human rights legislation is there to protect. It's about laws. It's about recognizing the need for change in a legal way. I don't know if it necessarily changes the way people think about the things that they think or do, but it does protect those who are victims, who are at the receiving end of, in this case, homophobia. Homophobic actions, violence in some cases, it protects you. And those are huge strides that have been made.
Well, I think that your festival here, it does two things. First of all, there's the obvious artistic content. And then the other thing is that you're out there, you know, you're visible. And from the human rights perspective, I think part of the formula always is awareness. You know, there can be no understanding if there's no awareness in the first place.
Absolutely.
So that's why my personal opinion here is how this is one of the reasons why the festival itself is so valuable.
Yeah. You know? No, and awareness, that's a really good word that you touched on, because I came in here thinking, you know, what is it? about the festival and why did I start this? What was that all about? And it was about awareness,
mm-hmm.
to have something in Regina that brought awareness to the subject of lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, LGBTQ is another term, of course,
mm-hmm.
And to have that on the landscape of Regina, on the political, creative, artistic landscape of Regina. There's more there, but speaking of awareness, I was looking at my horrible Yahoo news, which is typically horrible, but there was an article about the Harper government trying to reverse the legalization of marriage in Canada. I don't know if you read that this morning.
Oh, yes, it's still on the news, on TV.
Yeah.
And
I don't, actually don't read the news, so I'm a bit of an idiot, really. But I try not to read the news only because, well, here we go.
Yeah.
But, whether it's just an example of why there are such things as
human rights
legislation.
Yeah, there seem to be two schools of thought on that one.
Mm-hmm.
One is that this was kind of an arcane legal exercise that the government at the upper political levels really wasn't even aware of, and
mm-hmm.
they were quite surprised
mm-hmm.
at this particular legal opinion when it came out, and they had no desire whatsoever to go there. And then there are others who are a little more cynical, who thought, oh no, this is our conservative right-wingers that are always headed in that direction, so this was quite deliberate. And so I don't know, I think perhaps the truth is somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's worrying.
Well, I guess that's the thing, that's why I don't watch the news. I have enough worries of my own. But no, I'm being aware of these sorts of things is important. Don't get me wrong, but it's not surprising if it's true.
Right. Anyway, we're just about time for a break here, and so we're going to go to break, and I've got some music to play out of the break, and we'll talk some more about actually what's going to happen at this year's Queen City Cinema Festival. Or what's the proper?
No, we'll get to that after the break. It's Queer City Cinema Performatorium Festival of Queer Performance.
Alrighty.
It's long-winded, of course.
And on that, we'll be right back.
Schizophrenic. telling me that the gays cause their own suffering.
I don't want to think about it.
I'm making the choice to be gay.
Why don't you think about it? Why don't you think about it?
You're telling me that we leave children to raise in homes. Telling me homosexuals try to destroy.
Why don't you think about it?
The simple foundations of life.
Why don't you think about it?
That was Sean Chapin, Dare to Love. And we're back here with Gary Varro, and we're talking about queer city cinema. I seem to have a tendency to say Queen City, which is close, but that's not exactly right. It's queer city cinema.
Correct.
And now I want to talk that we've got a great brochure here. And it's also, all the information is on the website, and just look for Queer City Cinema. I'm looking for the address, but it's...
queercitycinema.ca.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Yeah.
I know I found it, but I had forgotten what the address was. So let's start at the very beginning. How are we going to start off here? I know it's next week.
Yeah, it starts next Thursday with... are some artist talks at the University of Regina at 6:30.
So what are they going to be doing there?
Talking. No, there'll be five artists.
You're cruel, cruel.
Yes, I know, I know. they'll be well, you know, who knows? They might be talking and performing, but you know, I think it'll be a fairly straightforward forum. It's called Perforum, just more fun with words. Having the five artists engage in a discussion, talking about their work in general, but also talking about some of the aspects of the work that is going to be presented over the couple of days of the festival, things to do with endurance, risk, spectacle, and audience participation, and the body, of course, because there's no bodies, there's no performance, really.
Right.
So those are some of the subjects that hopefully will be discussed at length during this 2-hour-plus session with five of the artists. So, you know, it's about information, dialogue, questioning, getting to the bottom, if there is a bottom, of performance art, live art, what that all means, why it's there, et cetera, et cetera.
Probably a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. Very engaging, really informative, insightful, stimulating, all those great things.
And a bit of participation, I presume, like if you wanted to ask a question.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely. That's the whole point is, you know, there's the presentation portion of the artist talks where each of the artists gives a little presentation of their work, and then we'll discuss amongst the artists their work, and then it's open to the audience for a Q&A.
So that's Thursday evening. So then the actual performances get started on Friday. And what do we have on the lineup there?
Well, we have starting on Friday evening, there's a performance by Zachary Drucker from Los Angeles. She's doing her performance, The Inability to Be Looked At and The Horror of Nothing to See.
Just so everyone knows, these are performances done by one person.
Okay.
They're solo performances. And her performance is 25 minutes. It's at Neutral Ground Gallery, as are most of the performances. And I'm not, you know, I would encourage people just to go to the website and check out the sort of synopsis for that particular performance, as well as all the other performances.
I see a note here. It says various times.
Where does it say that?
Oh, looking in the wrong place. I'm looking in the wrong place. 7 a.m.
7 p.m., I hope.
Oh, p.m.
7 a.m., yikes. Well, you never know. Who knows? But, no, that starts at 7 p.m. on Friday.
I'll be okay.
And that does incorporate some audience participation. I'll leave it at that. As well as the same evening, we have a performance called Tiresias, which is by Heather Castles from Los Angeles, and she's also a Canadian from Montreal. This is in what I addressed earlier about endurance. Mm-hmm. It's about a four-hour-long performance. She is standing with her body pressed against an ice bust of her.
So this is
herself.
Endurance on her part.
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think it's endurance on audience, but, you know, yes, very much so about herself, because there's this risk of her flesh freezing. I mean, she takes breaks, but...
I see this picture of her in the brochure pressed mm-hmm. against the block of ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
That's right. So it's quite, again, I want to say a spectacle. I mean, there is this aspect of curiosity, and they're visually intriguing, visually engaging work.
But the audience doesn't have to stay there for the full 4 hours.
No, they can if they want to. That might be their
right.
equal endurance is to sit and watch the ice melt for 4 hours. Obviously, the ice melts away. Again, I encourage people to go to the website and read more about that.
Mm-hmm.
The same evening, there's a performance called Hot Soak by Helena Goldwater from London, England, and that starts at 8 p.m. And it's also a durational performance. It's going to be taking place at a location to be announced.
I was going to ask you, because that's the note that I have here.
Yes.
So we're not sure yet where it's going to be?
It's in a hotel, an undisclosed hotel.
Oh, okay. So we know where it's going to be, but it's going to be announced.
I'm just keeping that.
Okay. The plan has been made, and we'll hear about the plan later.
Yes.
Okay.
I think out of respect for the artist, she wants to keep the, it's basically, she says, book some bath time with herself, Helena Goldwater.
Yes.
So it's meant to, again, create a kind of curiosity about exactly what that means. So it's an online booking for that performance.
Oh, okay.
Just because of the nature of the timing, because it's a very short 10-minute session that you would be having one-on-one.
Oh, okay.
With Helena. So
right.
You are alone with the artist.
Wow.
And which I think, again, is, you know, is another one of these performances where without audience, the work doesn't exist.
Yeah, a real sort of a mind stretcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, it's very simple, as yeah. are most of the works in this festival are quite simple but powerful,
mm-hmm.
I think. So that's Friday evening, as well as there are three things going on both Friday and Saturday night. We have a performance video component, which means it's a screening or a looped mm-hmm. projection
okay.
at Neutral Ground, a work by Anthea Black, who's from Alberta and London. It's called Queer Survival Campout Snow Cave. It's a video showing a DIY structure made out of snow. And it's about community and winter and the metaphors around winter, as is sort of the theme of the festival, is about mm-hmm. aspects of winter and the duality of winter as a both a challenging time and as a pleasurable time. So that's happening in the gallery both evenings. This is a continuous loop. And, of course, we have Regina Gypsy, the Queer City Cab Company, by Cindy Baker, who hails from Saskatoon.
And there's an article on this particular performance in the Prairie Dog.
Exactly, front page. It came out yesterday, I believe, so which is pretty great. So Cindy's doing sort of an underground cab company performance action. So you can call Cindy up anytime during Friday and Saturday for a ride.
Oh.
You know, maybe you want to be shuttled from this undisclosed hotel to Neutral Ground, or another art gallery, which is having a opening that evening as well at the McKenzie Art Gallery. So she's there to provide transport, safe transport for you.
I see she's available 24 hours a day.
That's what she says. I hope she realizes what she's getting herself into there. But,
yeah, but she won't guarantee.
She won't guarantee because she has to sleep and eat.
Right.
Like the rest of us. But yeah, it'll be, I think, a really fun fun space to be in. I'm looking forward to that a lot. And then we have something else that's happening both Friday and Saturday night, which is Performatorium La Bange. And that is a space more or less meant for audience as they view some of this durational work on Friday and Saturday. So it's a place for exploration, experimentation, and discovery. It's open to people who want to just sit around and watch other people doing actions that are performative.
One thing I notice here is that this particular performance is free, which brings up the topic of what does it cost?
Yes.
We haven't talked about that.
No, we haven't. Cost is each performance is $10 for regular, $8 for students. There is double bills for both Friday and Saturday, which are $16 for regular and $12 for students. And then there's a festival pass for all the performances that's regular $28 and $20 for students. The pass doesn't include entry to Helena Goldwater's Hot Soak, which is $10, and I said before it's an online booking.
Right.
And then Saturday, I haven't got to Saturday yet, there's a professional wrestling workshop. Yes, that's
right.
Are
you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. One of the performers on Saturday night, Jamie Lewis Hadley from London, who's doing a performance called This Rose Made of Leather, he's a former professional wrestler. And that's his former life.
Okay.
And his work is informed by his previous life as a professional wrestler. Now, professional wrestling is the wrestling that is performative. It's about having a persona. It's about having a costume. I want to say fake cream. It's very, very difficult, physically demanding work.
I have to tell you, I've been to the Victoria Club, and they have wrestling there.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been once, but I have friends that love going to that.
Right.
And you can appreciate, I think, the performance.
Right.
I mean, really, that's what it is.
Yeah, it is. So it's an art. It's an art. And, wow. and you know, that's why it's included. He does these workshops, and the workshop will basically be about, you know, exploring the performative side of professional wrestling as well as the physical intricacies and demands that it entails. So that's $50. That's a six-hour session on Saturday morning and afternoon.
That's awfully cheap.
Thank you. Good.
Yeah,
and it includes a catered lunch, too.
Wow.
So there you go.
Right.
So.
And if you're in possession of knee and elbow pads, I see.
Yeah. But not necessary. Not necessary. Just
okay.
As a precaution. That's taking place at Balfour Collegiate next Saturday. Ah. And that, again, that's an online booking. I think it'll be lots of fun. You know, you should be in fairly good shape to participate. There will be some demonstrations. of professional wrestling techniques. And then, of course, in the evening, Jamie Lewis Hadley does his performance, as I said before, This Rose Made of Leather. And that's at 8 p.m. Saturday. And it's about 30 minutes long at Neutral Ground. And that will be followed by a performance called The Legal Tender by George Stamos from Montreal at 9:30, about a 30-minute performance with a post-performance chat. And that closes the festival. And, of course, we still have Cindy Baker, the Regina Gypsy Queer Cab Company, happening Saturday, as well as I said, the Performatorium La Bounge and Queer Survival Camp Out Snow Cave performance video component. So it's full. It's happening. It's exciting. And I think, you know, there's something for everyone.
Mm-hmm. It is exciting. We didn't go into too much about this Rose Made of Leather. What is that all about?
The Rose Made of Leather, as I said, is by Jamie Lewis Hadley, and it's informed by his former life as a professional wrestler. So it has to do with exploring and addressing the politics of blood and masculinity through strategies of repetition and a display of physical endurance. So I don't want to give it away mm-hmm. what exactly is going on. The image shows a stack of ceramic tiles that are stacked to his height that he takes and lays out into a long rectangle on the floor. And what follows is, I guess, addresses aspects of violence and masculinity and blood. So there is some graphic material mm-hmm. to that. And all these performances are restricted, 18 mm-hmm. and over, as well as the workshop as well.
Right. And the Illegal Tender, what?
Illegal Tender is a performance by George Stamos. He has some footage from 1996 that he took. Was an interview documentation with Quentin Crisp, and Quentin Crisp is an infamous figure in gay, queer culture from the 80s and 90s. British, who lived a good portion of his life in New York until his death. So he has this documentation with Quentin Crisp, and he's incorporating it into part of his performance. It's a performance I have not seen. It's a world premiere, so it'll be the first time, which is pretty exciting to have that in Regina. So I'm very excited. I know some things that are happening with it, but George's comes from a dance background, mm-hmm. so I expect there will be some choreography involved in this. Whereas, all these performers have their different backgrounds. Like I said, Jamie Lewis Hadley has this background in professional wrestling. Heather Castles is a trainer. She trains people athletically. She's uses that again as part of her performance. They're these people are established performers. Jamie Lewis Hadley being probably the newest to this. He's more or less starting out, and. Yeah, I think it's a pretty great collection of artists. Well textured.
Mm-hmm. Just going back for a moment to Cindy Baker's Queer City Cab Company.
Mm-hmm.
She's accepting donations. It's free, but she'll accept donations with proceeds going to Queer City Cinemas Media Arts Festival.
That's right.
Yeah.
Give.
Yeah.
There's. We cannot charge for this service. That's illegal.
Ah.
And so we're accepting donations
as a form of, you know, it's a free service. But if people do feel generous enough to donate to the festival, that's fantastic. You know, there are free events. The Perform artist talks are free. The performance video component is free, and Performatorium La Bounge is free. So not everything has a charge. So that's a way to, you know, make sure people have access to the festival.
Just backtracking here a little bit, you've got a bunch more stuff I see sort of bookmarked and whatnot. And I was just wondering if there's any other highlights or other points that we could touch on here before
right.
we wrap it up.
No, I just wanted, I had sort of tagged a few pages in some of the catalogs with regard to some of the offerings in the past in the festival that had perhaps a more human rights slash political orientation, just because I wanted to be prepared to
right,
talk
right.
about some of these things.
Well, for example?
Well, yeah, I mean, as an example to say that, you know, the festival doesn't always just show works that are challenging in a creative, artistic,
right.
experimental way. We do show some documentaries that have relevance to certain communities. We've done a lot of presentations around trans communities, both features and documentaries. We've done presentations in 2006. Let's see, just pulling things out here. 2008, actually. Out and about in India and Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're very privileged in North America in so many ways. Other countries, due to cultural and religious beliefs, those freedoms come with more of a cost. And, you know, I think we take it for granted in North America that the rest of the world has those freedoms sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make sure that people are aware that not all countries share the same freedoms that we have here in North America. For instance, places like South Africa and India, which have huge cultural and religious boundaries or oppressiveness. So it's much more difficult to make strides in the context of lesbian and gay politics and issues. So that was an important program to have as part of the festival and continue to have as part of the festival. I think trans issues, transgendered issues, are sort of what I call the new lesbian and gay. It's, you know, there's still a lot of awareness to be made
right.
in that context. So that is another effort by the festival, is to bring those issues to light.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it seems to me, as we've been talking here over the last hour, we start talking about the performances, and you tend to forget that we're talking about Queer City Cinema Media Festival. It's about art.
Yeah, a huge part of it is about art.
Yeah, and the performers and artists happen to be queer.
Exactly, that's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, I think there's maybe one performance where you would actually, in an overt sort of direct way,
right.
realize that you're at a festival that happens to be queer.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be Illegal Tender. Whereas most of the others, there's no real indication that, you know, there's a subject matter that has to do with being queer. But I think there's a sensibility around the work that is queer, that is different, and it celebrates difference.
Well, I guess that the thing is that it's all about time, because we go back to 1996 when you first started it. there was a need, a perceived need for awareness of what queer artists are doing,
mm-hmm.
get their work out there, that mm-hmm. sort of thing, and they would be sort of discouraged, or they'd have roadblocks in front of them because of their gender issues,
mm-hmm.
that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean...
So we have made progress.
No, absolutely, and film festivals and performance festivals, mostly film festivals, are an amazing way to lend exposure and awareness to these issues. They're a huge instrument in making that happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've done very well here. We're right up on just about to our time.
Okay.
And I'd really like to thank you, Gary, for coming and talking about the Queer City Cinema and Media Festival.
Sure.
Got it right this time.
Yeah.
Right at the very end of the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's been great. It's a wonderful way for me to really learn and appreciate what's going on, and I think I would, I definitely would invite everybody in Regina to come and experience what's going to be a very thought-provoking series of performances and exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks again, and with that, we'll close this week's Human Rights Radio on CJTR Community Radio. We hope you've enjoyed listening to and learned something new about human rights for all people. For info on past and upcoming shows with links to human rights actions and information, go to amnestysaskatchewan.ca. Peter Benenson, the founder of Amnesty International, often said, "It's better to light a candle of hope than to curse the darkness."